We're in a series called Living as a Christian, talking about some of our most core beliefs and what our practice is. How do we actually live out our faith as Christians? We started talking about first four beliefs that we have that really define everything that we do, right? It's our belief, what we believe in our minds and believe in our hearts, that really determines what we do. And so we talked about the Bible, we talked about who is God, we talked about who are we as humanity, and then how do we relate to God? What is the gospel? And then last week, we kind of turned and started talking about what does our practice look like? What do we actually do as Christians? What are our spiritual disciplines? Shane talked about prayer last week. Today, we're going to talk about studying the Bible. Next week, fighting sin and temptation, belonging to the church, and then going out in mission. And the reason we're doing this is because there's a number of new Christians among us. There's a number of people that have just come to faith or have never really been taught, hey, here's how you live out your faith as a Christian, either immature or just new. But even for those of us who have been around a long time, we need a reminder. We need a reminder of what is it that God has called us to believe and to do. And last week, Shane kind of showed us the ropes when it comes to prayer. That prayer at the core of it all is really just communication. Communication with God at all times, in all seasons, in all situations, about all things, communicating with God, having a relationship with God, talking to Him, and then submitting our will to His. That's what prayer is, right? And we should have that sort of practice in our life. And this week, we're going to talk about the second most core fundamental spiritual discipline that we need to have as Christians, which is studying the Bible. We've talked about the Bible and its authority and that it defines what's good and best and right for us the first week. And so if we believe that, then what should our practice look like? What should our spiritual discipline look like when it comes to reading and soaking up God's Word? And so I want to do two things today. I want us to look at what does the Bible have to say about this, and then talk really practically at the end about what does this look like? How do I actually do this? And so I want you to turn or look on the screen. It's a little bit of Bible drill today, but to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I want you to see this throughout all of Scripture. Starting in verse 18, it says, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you." And so Moses is writing Deuteronomy, and it's the last of his five books. It's right before they're about to enter into the promised land. They're going to have to do some things. And he is laying out the law for them one last time. And here he's addressing, how do we approach God's word? What are we supposed to do with it? And he says these sorts of verbs: lay up these words in your heart and your soul, bind them on your hand, put them as frontlets between your eyes, teach them to your children, talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk along the way, write them on the doorposts of your house. And so what we see in Scripture is this, what we see modeled is an intentional study of God's Word, that we are to intentionally have conversations about God's Word. We're to be intentional about when we have conversations, talking about it, being intentional about placing it around us so that we see it and are reminded of the truth. We're to intentionally train our children in these words, in God's words. See, our approach to God's Word is not haphazard or random or just laissez-faire. No, what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be intentional. Intentional effort of knowing and soaking up God's Word. See, but the goal in this, I hope you could see this, the goal of studying His Word, the goal of knowing His Word that He just said was not just so that you will know. He says it's to lead to obedience. He says, be careful to do all this commandment. Be careful to do it, not to just hear it, see it on your wall, see it on your wrist. He says, be careful to do this commandment, loving the Lord, walking in His ways, holding fast to Him. There's obedience too, right? We're meant to not just know the Word, but to do the Word. And then he lays out for them here in this specific circumstance the outcome of that intentional effort in knowing God's Word and obeying it. The outcome of a life that does that, that you, is that your days may be multiplied. You see, what he's saying here, and this is the pattern we find throughout all of Scripture, that knowing God through His Word leads to life. Knowing God, following His ways, leads to life. See, that there's promise real specifically here. He's going to take out their enemies, right? Which means what? Life. He's going to make their way successful, which means what? Life. All right? The outcome of obedience to God's Word and knowing God's Word was blessing and protection. The biblical $5 word for this is God's provision, that He provides for His people. And so this is the pattern we see all throughout Scripture. Intentional study plus faithful obedience leads to right understanding and God's provision. Intentional study and faithful obedience leads to right understanding and God's provision. Look at it in Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. He says this, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." As Moses has died and has passed things on to Joshua, God gives the same instructions to His people through Joshua. God's people were to intentionally know and keep His Word in their mouths and in their minds. He says, "It shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night." They were to be intentional about thinking about God's Word, about dwelling on His instruction, so that it would soak into their minds and it would change how they lived, so that they would live out, right? As we intentionally study and know and understand, it leads to faithful obedience, and it leads to, ultimately, life, God's provision in our life. He tells them, be careful to do all that is written in it, and your way will be prosperous. You will have good success. Now, don't hear me wrong today. I'm not saying if you know your Bible better, then nothing bad will happen in your life. That's just not true. Anybody testify to that today? Anybody? Yes? Okay, right? Being more godly doesn't always mean perfect life, no pain, no suffering. That's not what I'm saying. But the general principle is true. When we follow God's way, it leads to life. It leads to God's provision. And provision doesn't always mean we get everything we want. Provision doesn't mean that the outcomes of my life are exactly what I would prefer. That's not it at all. It means that God will take care of me, right? It means that God will give me what I need. We also see this in the Psalms in a bunch of places. Psalm 1, you can flip there. Psalm 1. 1 through 6. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, the blessed man, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." See, the psalmist lays out really that there's two paths in this life that we can take. There's really only two, and it's one of righteousness or one of wickedness. And the righteous, what does he say about them? That they delight in the law of the Lord. They meditate on his law day and night. The righteous are compared here to what? What picture? A tree, right? A tree that's planted by streams of water. That tree that's on the edge of the pond or on the edge of the river that's got its roots down where it's always getting water. That's what the righteous are like. That it leads to life. It leads to yielding fruit in its season. Its leaf never withering. Why? Because the tree is connected to what? The source of life. And he says the righteous who meditate and intentionally study God's word are like that. Right? They are connected to the source of that which brings life. And it leads to life in their life. But he says that's one path, is meditating and knowing God's word all the time. And the other path is the path of wickedness. The wicked live totally opposite from this. They don't take counsel from God's word. No, they take counsel from each other, from the other wicked. They associate themselves with those who are far from God, not with God himself. They're connected to those known for scoffing, not those known for God's way. They're intentionally staying away from God's word, choosing their own way. And the outcome of that life that he says, the wicked will not stand. They will not sit in the seat of the righteous. The way of the wicked will perish. This is what he's laying out. There's two paths. Knowing God through his word leads to life, and rejecting God and choosing your own word leads ultimately to death. Psalm 119, here's what he says. This is a long one. We're going to read the whole thing. Just kidding. Those of you who know your Bible are like, no, you cannot. It's like 4 pages in my Bible. We're going to read the first section, Aleph. 119, 1 through 8, he says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who do no wrong but walk in his ways. You've commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. The psalmist spends about 4 pages in my Bible, tons of words, longest chapter in the book, talking about the value and the worth of God's word, of knowing God's word. He tells us here about the intentionality that we walk in the law of the Lord. We keep his testimonies. We seek him with our whole heart. We walk in his ways. We diligently keep his precepts. We keep his statutes. His eyes are fixed on commandments. I'm learning your righteous rules. I'm keeping your statutes. See, our lives as Christians, what does it mean to live as a Christian? Is to know God's word and do God's word. It's got to be marked first by knowing it, by intentionally studying it, by learning about it, but then putting it into practice, to walk in his ways. Proverbs, Solomon tells us, Proverbs chapter 2, just a few pages over, 1 through 5. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see, it takes intentional effort. This doesn't just happen randomly and haphazardly. You have to do what he says here. We have to spend time and energy on this. It's not something that just happens all of a sudden magically because I got saved. Now I understand God. Now I know his word. Now I know how to live this life. No, it takes intentional effort. We have to receive his words, as Solomon says. We have to treasure up his commandments. We have to make ears attentive to wisdom. We have to incline our hearts to understanding. We're calling out for it. We're seeking it like silver. We're searching for it like hidden treasures. The Christian life is not a lazy, lackadaisical, just haphazard life. No, it's an intentional investing in knowing God and his ways, right? That's what wisdom is. That's where life is found. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament, and I'm not going to go read it all. We just covered it in the book of Luke. But it's after Jesus has risen back to life. And there's two disciples on this journey that day. And they're walking along this road. They're going to a place called, anybody know? Emmaus, right? And they're walking along. And Jesus comes up alongside of them, right? And they don't recognize him because of his body's different or he kept them or something. I don't know. But they're talking about everything that's happened. And he's like, what are y'all talking about? And, well, you don't know everything that's happened? That Jesus was crucified, and they buried him, but now he's back to life, and they go on telling him all this stuff, right? And Jesus jumps into this conversation with them, and this is Luke 24, verse 25, and he begins to tell them about what their understanding is, and he says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And so Jesus that day took the Old Testament as they're walking along, and he goes, yeah, that was about Jesus. That was about me. That was about the Christ. That was about me. Could you imagine being on that journey that day, getting that kind of lesson from Jesus as he walks through and just points them over and over? And I love the story because they still kind of don't get it. They get all the way to where they're going in Emmaus, and they invite him in to come and have a meal, and they sit down to eat this meal, and Jesus breaks the bread, and they realize in that moment, they have this aha moment of, oh, wow, that's him. He's the risen one, the one we were just talking about, the one who showed us all these things in Scripture. And Jesus disappears, and they find him later with the disciples. And here's what it says in verse 44. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." I love this moment because the disciples, even though they had been with Jesus, they had seen everything, they had walked with him, they've had him explain everything, they finally have an aha moment. God finally opens their mind to understand, oh wow, this is all about Jesus. And their minds were blown that day. And many of you have come to Scripture for years, maybe. Some of you have come to church for years, and you've never had that aha moment. Many of you have had that aha moment where you went, wow, I see this. I understand this, right? We are meant to understand God's Word. For some of you, this is still distant. This is still obtuse and difficult and complicated and old and maybe good, but I'm not really getting it, right? God's Word is meant to be understood. He wants that. He wants to open our minds to understand it. In Romans 12:2, one last one, and then we'll go into some practicalities. Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." If you're going to live as a Christian, it takes intentional study. Our minds must be transformed. Our minds must be filled with the truth of God in order to be transformed to believe what is true and right and good. We have to continually expose ourselves to it, and we have to begin to live it out, be obedient to it, in order to understand and see God's provision in our life. That's some of the why. Now let's talk about how. How do we actually study the Bible? I got a few points. We'll just talk about them all at once. Number one is this. You have to make time and space. Anybody testify to that? Anybody testify to that today? Does it just happen naturally for anybody? You just wake up and you go, I just all of a sudden was in a deep trance, and the Lord was, I just was overcome, and I just couldn't wait, you know, like anybody ever, it just flows so easily and naturally, and every day you just spend 3 hours in study and prayer before you even start your day. Anybody in the room? Just to be clear, there's no hands, right? We have to make time and effort. That's why they're called spiritual disciplines. It's a practice. It's something we have to get better at. Now, we have to first make the time. Many people use the mornings. Anybody not morning people in here? Just confess this morning. You don't prefer the mornings. You're kind of grumpy. Like the people around you in the mornings don't really like you. Anybody? Okay. Now, anybody ever felt guilty because you feel like you got to have your devotion in the morning, but you're not a morning person and you struggle with that, right? Let me just say this. There's nothing in God's word that says, hey, here's when you should read your Bible. It talks about all times, all places, right? There's nothing prescriptive. So if an evening works better for you, your lunch break works better for you, then do that, right? Don't feel guilty, right? There's going to be 1,000 obstacles and 1,000 excuses that will get in our way. That's okay. Make the time anyway. Make the time. It's going to require discipline and choice, and you're going to choose something today and go, man, okay, I know I need to get back into this, and you're going to mess it up later this week. That's okay. Make the time next week, right? Keep going back to it. Keep finding time, making the time to read God's word. I found it helpful to find a space, right? A spot, a desk or a table or a chair in a coffee shop or a spot in the office. Find a place that you know when I go there, this is where I can focus on God. A place that's free from distractions. For some of you, that's outside. For some of you, that's a bad idea because there's birds and squirrels and stuff. You know what I mean? For some of you, that's going to be in a coffee shop or on your lunch break or in your truck. Find the space. Find the space that you go to read and understand God's word. Number three, I think it means having a plan, right? If anybody ever been taught the point and shoot method, you know, where you just kind of flip and go, all right, Jeremiah 5. Oh, that's pretty good, actually. That's not bad. I'm not going to read it because it doesn't make my point. Sometimes you're going to end up in some judgment sections of the Old Testament. You're going to go, what does that mean for my life, right? You should have a plan. You don't just go to the movies and go at the 45-minute mark and stick around for 5 minutes and think, I'm going to understand what that movie was about. Do you? Anybody do that? No. You go at the start, and you begin, and you follow the whole story, and then you talk about it with others afterwards, and you go, oh, that's what he meant by that. We can't just randomly go, well, let me get my verse for the day. That's not gonna last. It's not going to help you consistently expose yourself to God's word. So number one, we have to make the time and the space. Number two, and I think many of us probably skip this, I think you should always start with prayer. We have to come to God's word praying for understanding. We have to come to God. God, you know my limitations. You know my lack of understanding. You know the hindrances in my mind. God, help me to understand your word. Help me to apply it to my life. And that comes from two core beliefs. Number one, we believe God wants to be understood. He's not trying to hide himself. He's not trying to make this difficult, right? He wants to be known, and we can know him through his word. But we also believe that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, right? That we need God's help sometimes to have that aha moment, to finally grasp, oh, that's what he's talking about, right? And so we have to come, when we study the Bible, we have to come in prayer. God, help me to understand. Number three, read for comprehension. Now, before we go on and say read, anybody listen to the Bible in here? Anybody listen to the Bible? This was a new revelation with technology, but there's an app. It's called the Bible. I think it's called the Bible app, literally. What a great name. And if you go to the Bible app, there's probably other ones there. There's a button down at the bottom. It looks like a triangle. You know what that means? Play. You can click that, and it'll read the Bible to you. So any of you, don't raise your hand. Anybody struggle reading? Anybody have a hard time tracking along reading? Don't raise your hand. Click play. Listen to it, right? You can get just as much out of it by sitting there and listening. You can drive, and you can click play. And you can consume God's word in a way that maybe you can't when you read. But here we go. Number three, read for comprehension. You should find a translation you can understand. This is semi-controversial in today, but all English translations that we have in our modern day, for the most part, are accurate, are faithful representations of the original. Just a hint, the Bible was not written in English. Every Bible we have is a translation of what was in Greek and Hebrew. So find one that you can understand. Find one that you can get. You should read it in context. If you just skip to the middle and start reading in Micah 2, verse 2, that's not going to go real well for you. Just as if you open a book from the library and start reading in the middle or start just guessing and flipping around to different chapters. You've got to understand the context. You've got to read it in context. And I think you should ask some really basic questions when you read. Number one, what does it say? Number two, what does it mean? And number three, how does it apply? What does it say? What does it mean? And how does it apply? We tend to get those backwards because we really want to get to, how does this apply to my life? What do I need to do today? God, what are you trying to say to me today? And that's important. God does want to speak to that. But we have to start with, what does it say? What does the text say? That means sometimes we're going to have to read it multiple times. We're going to have to come back to it and go, well, it said this. So many times I listen to conversations about the Bible and we draw conclusions based on what it didn't say. Well, I'm sure Jesus was thinking this at that point. And then we get off on this rabbit trail based on what it didn't say. No, we are looking at what did it say? Not what's behind the text, not what all that other stuff. No, what does it say? And then we go to what does it mean? What does it mean means, what is the principle? What is being taught that's true at all times for all people, right? Not just what's relevant in my life today. What does this mean for all people at all times? What is true? And then once we understand that, we can come down to me. What does it mean for me today? Number four, you should journal for insight. You don't have to, not should. Here's a helpful tip. Journal, write. Some of you are like, what? That doesn't make any sense. This has been one of the most beneficial practices for me when it comes to reading my Bible, is to write out a few things. And it's helped many other Christians to write out, what is a verse that stands out? Write out, what is something I don't understand? Write out the questions you have. Try to make it simple. Whatever you choose to write, journaling as you read helps cement it in your mind, right? Because it becomes active learning at that point. You can write out the things that really made sense or the things that didn't make sense. You can write out prayers to God based on what you read that day. But writing gets me in a mode of I'm actually studying this and reading this. Number five, you should read and discuss with others. See, understanding God's word is not just individual effort. It's not just personal homework. Hey, go figure this out. There's no one to help you, right? This is not a homework assignment. It's a group project, right? It's important that we read God's word and discuss God's word with other people because it protects us from our crazy thoughts and our random rabbit trails that are not true, right? When we read God's word with each other, we help correct one another where we're wrong. We help encourage one another where we're falling off, right? We need each other. I need your wisdom. I need your insight into God's word in order to really understand it. We're not meant to be isolated by ourselves, just kind of trying to figure out what Micah 2:2 means. You know what I mean? We're meant to read it with other people. And then lastly, rinse and repeat. You see, reading God's word is not, it's not a magic potion. It's not a silver bullet. You're not going to go home today and have a little devotion and everything in your life's going to be fixed. It's just not true, right? The point of this, the key to this, is just sticking with it. Being disciplined over the long haul. long-term, consistent exposure to God's word will shape you and change you in ways that you don't even recognize. Eugene Peterson calls it a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. That I'm going to give my mind to consume and understand God's word. And as best as I can, I'm going to try to be obedient to what I learn. I'm going to try to live it out in my life. And what God will give in return for that is an understanding, an aha moment, and he will provide, right? That's what we see in Scripture. And so my hope today that wherever you're at, whether you are faithfully every day you wake up and have a devotion or you haven't touched your Bible in months, wherever you're at, pick it up again. Read it, click play, and begin again. When you fall, pick it up again and begin again. Read it, think about it, write about it, talk about it with one another, live it out, and keep going. A long obedience in the same direction. Let me pray. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you've given it to us, God. We're not left to wonder, wrestle with what does this all mean. God, you have given us your instruction, your precepts, your commandments, how we are to live. God, and I pray that you would just forgive me for not valuing it in the way that I should sometimes, for not sticking with it in certain seasons when life gets busy or hard or difficult, God. God, I pray that each one of us, wherever we are at today, would begin again walking with you, learning your ways, applying it to our life, understanding who you are, who you've created us to be, talking about it with others, sharing that message with those who don't know you. God, I pray that we would start again, wherever we're at, pick it up and walk towards you. God, I pray that you would help us God, give us grace because we need it. We need understanding. We're limited. But I pray that you just be with us today, God. We love you. We thank you for your word and that it gives us life. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.